Welcome to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD. Brought to us by Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? Frederick Faith Debate is an open and honest forum for our local faith community leaders to get together and talk about things that we think would be interesting to have them talk about. And today, those local community leaders would be Jonathan Schweitzer.
Hello.
And my wife.
Hi. Certainly not any sort of a leader.
Well, for today, she's going to serve the role of local community leader in the faith community.
Yes.
All right.
Yes, and she's going to be interesting.
Is that a command?
Yes. Isn't that cool?
Dina has been on the show before. In fact, she was on the show once when Jonathan's wife, Carol, was on the show, too.
That's right.
Maybe about a year ago or so. And
we had a couple testimonies about things that had happened with your son and in your family that were really, really very important, valuable things.
So to give you a sense of who's on the show today, Jonathan Schweitzer is pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel. So he is a well-lettered Christian. I am unabashedly Christian, and so is my wife. And she's been involved in leading Bible studies and that. So she is, at some level, she's kind of a lay lead person, leader, in a lay leadership kind of a thing in some sort of way, so it's not totally inappropriate to have her on the show. At least that's my excuse, and we're going with that one. So what we're going to talk about today is kind of a potpourri of different topics. You know, when I see things in the news or a magazine article or somebody will draw my attention to something or send me an email, I have a tendency to put a lot of those things on the blog, on the website. Go to WFMD.com, keyword faith takes you to the Faith Debate page. And do a daily blog there that is almost always made up of things that others send to me. The chance to make the show kind of interactive a little bit, since we don't take calls and have layperson guests on the show, you know, typically anyway. So we've got a kind of a smattering of those kinds of things. We take an opportunity every once in a while on the show to kind of work through some of those. And sometimes we end up having fun with it. Sometimes we get into a very serious, heady discussion over it. And sometimes neither, and we move on. So we'll see what kind of a mix we get today. As we're recording this show, we record the show in advance because Jonathan has things to do on Sunday morning, as you can imagine. So as we record this show, in recent weeks, there's been a little bit of an ongoing back and forth in the letter to the editors section of the Frederick News Post on the nature of God and who is God, and why can't, it's Rodney King all over again. Why can't we just all get along? And here's an example of one of those letters that the News Post gave the little headline in the letter to the editor section of God, Muslims, Bigots. And the letter reads, regardless of the conflicting beliefs, perspectives, and practices of a world of diverse worshipers, whatever and however God may be will never change. In this sense, we all worship the same God. The central message of all the world's great religions in their highest forms is faith, hope, and love. May our beloved community warmly welcome all those who bring such light to the darkness of a fearful world's expressions of intolerance, division, violence, and hatred. Written by Nancy and Frederick. So,
okay.
The gist there, of course, is something you hear a lot.
Right.
We're all talking about the same God anyway. Why can't we just, you know, appreciate and have tolerance for other people's view? If you're a Muslim and I'm a Jew and that person over there is a Christian, we're all basically worshiping the same God. You know, why all the division? Why all the strife? So, Mr. Christian Pastor, what do you say to these poor, unfortunate souls?
Well, I feel like I need to get a little bit more of a sense for the discussion. So some people are basically saying that Christians are bigots, you know, or anybody that's religious and that draws a line and says my way is the only way is a bigot, you know, and then anybody that accepts any road to God is, you know, like that's the gist of what the discussion has been between those who basically want all religions to be okay and those who want to claim that their route is the only way to heaven. Is that kind of the gist of the discussion?
Yeah, I'm not sure if you mean somebody who's intolerant being a bigot by definition. Is that how you're using the word bigot? Because I don't know if that this person, Nancy, would automatically...
Well, she didn't really define
bigots.
Right, right.
But she was saying, you know, hey, let's not be intolerant, let's not have division.
Well, interestingly, the word bigot comes from a English derivation, which basically means by God. And so if you make a claim for something and your authority is by God, I do this by God, you know, God told me to do it, then you're a bigot. And so unfortunately it's turned into this negative, label that anybody that claims what they claim by God is automatically a bigot. Well, it's kind of true, but it's kind of like saying you white Anglo-Saxon, it's like it's calling you what you are, but using that as some kind of a bad
label. Evangelical, conservative.
Yeah. Right. It's the tone.
You right winger.
Behind the word that makes all the difference. Protestants, they used to say that about Protestants. You know, there's all kinds of history of this kind of thing. So anyways, what do I think? I think that in general, science has created a world out there in the name of scientific naturalism where nobody any longer believes that you can discover absolute truth about things that are spiritual, because science is incapable of measuring anything that has to do with the spiritual world. The reigning worldview of the day has basically come down to there's no way to know the difference between the different religions. There's no way to know which one's right and which one's wrong. And that mentality has created this orientation that everybody says, oh, well, we can't know, so let's just all get along with one another. And actually, it's the most uneducated and unenlightened and unsophisticated way that you could go about religion. Basically, it's just another way of saying, religion doesn't really matter. It's not really all that important. So, as long as, if you believe, that it's Buddha and you believe that it's the Force, Luke, use the Force, Luke, and another guy believes that it's, Jesus Christ, whatever works for you. It's become very pragmatic. And the reality is that, I don't know that people any longer even have the ability to get outside of that worldview. I mean, when it comes to the health of our kids, when it comes to the health of a business, or what we're going to put into law at the political level, we do everything that we do based on some kind of a scientific, study, sociological study, survey, something, this or that. But when it comes to anything having to do with religion, automatically, it's only personal opinion. And it's unfortunate. Basically, what it means is that we really don't care about things religious, and we really don't believe any of it. We just think, that it's all unimportant. And so those people that say those things, like, can't we just all get along, are really missing the whole reality. They're writing off the potential that you can discover any kind of truth, and having to do with anything spiritual. And unfortunately, it's very pervasive mentality out there.
So, honey, has Jonathan left anything unsaid?
I think what he said is a very good synopsis of what's going on in the world. The one thing I could add is we were meant for fellowship. Scripture says that. And we claim to want that. And it's evident because this whole lackadaisical view of, well, why can't we just get along? We want to people please instead of God please.
Yeah.
And that really is what it boils down to. We are so hung up on trying to get the approval of man that we will forsake the approval of God in order to obtain the approval of man. And that's unfortunate.
Yeah.
If you look at a lot of the talk shows, Oprah is one who is winning great approval of man, and she's very, very lost. I've prayed for her. It's very sad. She would probably think, I'm sure she thinks she's going to heaven. I don't know her heart, but I know that she accepts more than just Jesus Christ as the way to get to heaven.
Yeah.
And the standard is what Scripture says. I'm not saying that I'm right. I'm saying that I believe what God says is right, and I'm putting my faith in that. I'm not going to tell you have to believe it, but I can certainly share it and present it and let that be the person's choice. And if that makes me a bigot, I confess that I am.
Yeah.
But I do it out of love.
Yeah, the point is the fact that you, Dina, would in any way base your life on what God says means that basically you come to life by God.
Mm-hmm.
And
absolutely.
So does that make you a bigot? Yes, but should bigot be a bad word? No, it shouldn't. You know, I don't think it should be, but the reality is that in this day and age, nobody's willing to deal honestly with those kinds of things.
And I want
to
add something on top of what Dina said about wanting to please men. It's not just that and wanting to be open-minded to what others think and to be accepted by them so that you can have some sort of dialogue and fellowship with them. But also, I think there's a pressure that people place on themselves that they don't want to be wrong. And how can I be wrong if everybody's right? You know, it takes all the pressure off of really thinking through. Like you said,
it's
a pretty simplistic answer to say, well, everything's okay. That's pretty simple. That doesn't cause you to need to dig in deep and study through issues and have, you know, real honest grappling conversations with friends, enemies, whatever, like kind of like what we do on the show, I guess, and really go after it and try to discern and figure out what the truth is. That's heavy lifting. That's a lot of hard work. And after all of that hard work, you still might end up being wrong. Well, who wants to go through that? It's a lot easier and safer to just say, well, everybody's got their own way.
Exactly.
And I'm part of everybody. So, you know, we're all worshiping the same thing, basically. So it's kind of a, I don't mean this as mean-spirited as it's going to sound, but it's kind of a lazy way out.
Well, totally. I feel like that's precisely what's happened. Nobody holds their religious beliefs very strongly anymore. And so everybody throws out like all these comments about Christianity. Well, how could Christianity be true, you know, when God did what he did to Job? You know, and they'll throw out some kind of a comment like that.
I love the story
of
Job.
Which totally misses the story of Job. Or, you know, the Bible says, you know, that Jonah was in the belly of a whale. You know, and they, you know, they take these few things here or there, and instead of reading the Bible, instead of really grappling with theology and what the Bible says about the character of God, that he is righteous and holy and true, but he's full of grace and mercy and loving kindness, you know, and the balance of how those things work out. Instead of really dealing with it, instead we throw out all these things, you know, well, you know, it's Buddhism, Hinduism, Islam, they all believe in the same God, but nobody's really being honest about the fact that, you know, one God looks totally different from another God. And if they're all just the same God, then unfortunately, it just confuses the issue instead of taking the time to really look at what's going on. And
he's Jonathan Schweitzer, senior pastor at Crossroads Valley Chapel, also on the panel this week. My wife, Dina Skinner. I'm Troy Skinner, host and moderator of the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio, 930 WFMD, online at WFMD.com, keyword faith. And I was going to transition, but it sounded like you wanted to add something, no?
Mm-mm.
All right. Dina's going to demur. She's going to defer to the second half.
Yes.
All right, speaking of publications, we're talking about some things going on in the Frederick News Post. There's a new publication in town, Frederick Christian Monthly. Have you seen this yet?
Yes, I have.
It's a free publication that you'll see in different locations. I don't know if the grocery stores have it, or like the real estate magazines are and that sort of thing, or whatever. It's only been out for a couple of months, 2, 3, 4 months maybe. And it's interesting. I'll be curious to kind of see where this ends up going and what kind of magazine this ends up being. And it's, you know, I haven't completely got my head around exactly what their point of view or the premise for the publication is yet. So, you know, we'll see.
Well, it's interesting because I was invited to, as our church, to advertise in this publication and ask some questions about it. And I think that they fall on the side of, you know, why can't we just all get along?
Hmm.
Yeah, it struck me as that's possibly the case, but I wasn't sure if that was just kind of the way they stumbled out of the gate or if that's kind of what they're really hoping to accomplish. If that's the case, then they maybe shouldn't call it Frederick Christian Monthly. They should call it Frederick Religion Monthly or something like that.
Well, that's precisely the difficulty because there's over half of those people in the United States that call themselves Christians really don't believe that Christ is
Savior.
The way, the Savior, mm-hmm. the way, the truth, and the life, that no man comes to the Father but by him. And yet, and then, you know, like, for example, you know, this Jeremiah Wright, who mm-hmm. was Obama's pastor, he has this whole theology where he believes that there's many roads to God. You know, it's built into his whole orientation. And, of course, that fits Obama, that fits Oprah. And, unfortunately, they do it in the name of Christ, and it's less than honest. It's deceptive in the end.
Well, and they include a lot of things, at least in a couple of the editions that I've seen, that aren't really, that don't have anything to do with religion or Christianity. They have, you know, some jokes, some recipes, things like that, make it more of a full service magazine, I guess.
Sure.
And they have a whole section, for this one edition I'm looking at that came out around 4th of July. So they have a whole, you know, U.S. government thing and a remembering Thomas Jefferson, you know, which is interesting from a Christian's perspective.
Totally.
And Thomas Jefferson is famous for cutting out all of the miraculous from his Bible.
Well, I felt for some time like Obama fits very firmly in the Christian religious tradition of the United States because he fits right in with a Jeffersonian type of faith. And so to argue that somehow he doesn't fit in that, I think is a poor way to go for Christians because he really strongly fits with Jefferson. Mm-hmm.
But then they do have some helpful things in here. I think this is helpful anyway. There's an article about how to raise your children. And these are some of the bullet points in the article.
Okay.
See if you would have any issue with any of these and
okay.
see if there's anything missing.
Okay.
Introduce your child to Jesus.
Yes.
Wear your faith on your sleeve.
Yep.
These are charges to parents. Parents should do these things. Pray with your children wherever you are.
Mm-hmm.
Admit when you make a mistake.
Mm-hmm. Good.
Teach your child about Jesus. So not just introduce your child to Jesus, but teach him or her about Jesus.
Excellent.
Read the Bible to your children. Help your child to memorize scriptures. Point out the meaning of Bible stories.
Okay.
All those are good, right?
Yeah. Uh-oh.
No. Well, is there anything missing?
Nothing missing. Well, I don't know. If I was going to try to be exhaustive, I might add a few things, but I don't know off the top of my head what I might add. Those all sound excellent.
So now let's go back and think about the person who's reading this would be saying, oh, Frederick Christian Magazine. Well, I consider myself a Christian. Let me pick this up and read it.
Okay.
How many of the people reading this, self-identifying as a Christian, would admit to themselves, do you think, I mean, it's a guesstimate, right? But do you think would say, introduce your child to Jesus. Yeah, I've done that. Most?
I think so.
Most, I would say so. Probably 90-something percent, right?
Okay, yeah.
Wear your faith on your sleeve. How many Christians wear their faith on their sleeve?
I think a lot fewer than would have done the first one.
Half, maybe? Not even half, right?
Yeah, I think it would come down to how you define wearing your Christianity on your sleeve, you know? Like, do you have a fish, you know, on the back of your car?
Do you go to church on Sunday?
Or have you looked for opportunities to share your faith with people at work?
Or does it stop at church?
Or some people, are you, like, cramming your faith down people's throats, you know, everywhere that you go? I mean, you have to define, I think, what
now this next one ties into that as far as a group of people. It's, you know, pray with your children wherever you are.
Sure.
So if you're comfortable
at restaurants.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
So if you're comfortable wearing your faith on your sleeve, then you're more likely to be those who would also pray in a public place at a restaurant over a meal or whatever, right?
Yep.
Admit when you make a mistake. How good are we at that?
Well, I'm getting very good at it. I'm making a lot of mistakes lately.
I feel like that's one of the most important things for
yes.
parents to do if they're going to win their children to Christ.
And it strengthens
that they live with integrity that way.
The relationship between parent-child immensely. There's such a deeper trust from the child because then they know what the parent says is going to be truth. Even if it was a mistake, it's, wow, I really was wrong on this. I missed the mark. My intent was to help you or whatever the situation is. It builds that trust because, wow, mom really does have my back, which is what, you know, it's a real reflection of what God the Father does because God the Father has our back too.
Yeah.
So it's a real great way to point your child to Christ in that respect and to God.
Yeah, I agree.
So the first four, you know, a little bit of a mixed response on those, but I could see more of those playing out. These last four are really more about discipling and training up and teaching. And the first of the final four on this list, teach your child about Jesus. How many parents are taking the time to teach their children, how many Christian parents to teach their children about Jesus versus how many are just turning them over to their church's Sunday school and VBS program, VBS is Vacation Bible School for the uninitiated, and letting that take care of itself.
Sure. Yeah, I would agree that unfortunately, I think a lot of parenting goes that way, even when it comes to education, when it comes to moral development, when it comes to, you know, coming to know Christ, we tend to want to pass it off to the experts. And I think that is
a farm it out.
Poor way to parent. You know, you need to take personal responsibility for all those things.
Read your Bible to your children. How many people are reading their Bible, period, much less to their children, right?
Right.
Do you have a sense? You've probably had conversations with people who feel like this need to kind of fess up to the pastor. Well, you know, I mean to, but I just can't ever seem to find the time, or I don't know what. What percentage of the Christians that you know, again, it's kind of a rough guesstimate, are Bible readers? What percentage of Christians are reading their Bible?
I don't know. I think that would be hard to say. I think it would have a lot to do with whether or not their church is challenging them about the importance of reading their Bible. You know, one of the largest pastors in all the United States, Bill Hybels, the pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, came out and said that, you know, we did a study and we haven't for 30 years discipled any of our people. We forgot to tell them that they need to be reading their Bible between services. You know, we haven't told them, we haven't brought them up to speed on these things, and go figure, we should have. We should have had helped them to bring their Bible to church so that they can get to know their Bible a little bit better. And so I think that there's very possibly a large percentage out there that do not read their Bible and study it. And to the extent that that's the case, they are way less grounded in their faith than what they should be, what they need to be in order to stand strong for the Lord.
The next one was help your child to memorize scriptures, and I think that that's probably single-digit percentage. Parents that help their children to actually memorize scripture, it's got to be single digits. I would, you know, it can't be more than 10%.
Well, I think it probably follows right on the heels of those that value the Word of God. I think it's they probably naturally find ways to get their kids into those kinds of programs.
Mm-hmm.
And the last one was point out the meaning of Bible stories, which I find interesting, because how many average, typical American Christians or Frederick Christians feel like they know the meaning of most of the Bible stories? You know, how do you tell your children, oh, well, what this story is really telling us here is, if you don't know yourself,
yeah,
you know, we probably feel very ill-equipped.
The thing is, with those last four, if you're doing one of them, you're probably doing all of them. But if you're not doing a bunch of them, you're probably not doing any of them at some level.
Now we've got, there we go. We've got one more little publication we're going to talk about. We talked about the News Post. We talked about the Frederick Christian Monthly. I think that's what it's called, right? Frederick Christian Monthly?
Frederick Christian Monthly.
You've seen these sorts of things before. I'm holding it up for Dina and for John. It has a title on it, Would You Like to Know More About the Bible? And then it's got a little trifold thing going on inside. Exactly. Right? How worthwhile are these things?
For someone who is seeking God and seeking, they are very worthwhile. If someone is truly seeking God, anything they can get their hands on, they want. And so that would be beneficial. For the person who is just not interested, that's just another piece of paper.
Now, I'm not saying that they're evil or bad or anything like that. I mean, I understand that there's certainly the motivation is good and all that, but I don't know.
Okay, let me ask it from a different direction. What mode of communication would get your attention?
Well, personal one-on-one always is going to be the best, right? So I guess in that context, sometimes these are handed out personally, so you get some of that. Something where you have a better opportunity to consider the source, I guess, for me. You know, the track.
So
you
the point
never
is, if you
sure.
see a track and you don't know where it comes from, you're like, I'm not going to bother with that.
Where I am now,
yeah.
You know, not that I'm in any great place, but I feel like I have a little more discernment than I did 10, 15 years ago, let's say.
Okay.
So I'll see something, I'll look at it and say, what is this all about? And I'll be kind of reading it and say, okay, this seems like it's kind of on the money.
Yeah.
But I'm already there.
Right.
Or I'll be like, wait a minute, this is not the gospel as I understand it. Who put this darn thing out?
Right.
But again, I'm already there. I don't know that you hear people give their testimony. I don't know any testimony that begins with, one day I read a track. Maybe they're out there. But as a percentage, a lot of resources and energy and time and money go into these darn things. How valuable are they really to the cause?
Well, I think nowadays mostly what you're going to hear is, you know, like, well, I went to this one website, you know, and I got to reading about. And the fact is that at one point tracks were like the cutting edge,
right?
You know, of communication, you know, and pass them out everywhere that you go, kind of a thing.
Yeah, the web is a great. Yeah, I see what you when you're asking me the question, you expected me maybe to say the internet, and certainly the internet is a place.
Internet, like YouTube, you know, like somebody sends you a snippet of some pastor's whatever, and you hear it, you know, until your heart's pricked, you know. And so it's mostly, I think, like you're saying, from the context of friends, but
that's the same.
I think it's very likely
danger,
that tracks,
by the way,
for the most part,
the internet offers the same danger. You don't know
the
context. Where's it coming from? Who are these people?
Yeah, which is an authority question, which brings us back to that question at the beginning. You know, what's the basis of our authority? Is it only the scientific method? You know, is there any authority that the world recognizes any longer that they will say, huh, this is put out by Billy Graham. You know what? I'm looking for spiritual help. I'm going to read it. You know, these days, you know, if it's put out by Oprah or it's put out by the Dalai Lama or something like that, people are going to tend to say, oh, well, I'll read that. You know, he must be spiritual, you know. And so there's, in a large sense, the Christian world, I think, has lost their
I've come to not like that word spiritual anymore because it's such a loaded phrase.
Yeah.
You know, I've been called spiritual and I've come to resent it because it doesn't mean what Scripture says it means to a lot of people.
Yeah, we've had our language co-opted from us, and they've changed the meaning on us.
You know, and I'll have to say, well, what do you mean I'm spiritual?
Well, actually, that started happening back in the early 1900s with the great German theologians. They started to empty the words like Jesus,
right,
or Christ, or church, or God, salvation, redemption. They began to empty the words of their meaning, and there's whole books that are written using nothing but the Christian language, the biblical language, that in no way whatsoever resemble the meaning of what Christ meant by it.
And therein lies the problem, pleasing man above pleasing God.
Yeah.
Well, thank you, Jonathan Switzer, pastor of Crossroads Valley Chapel. My wife, Dina Skinner. I'm Troy Skinner. Thanks to our sponsor, Putman Plumbing and Heating. How can we make you smile? And thank you for listening to the Frederick Faith Debate on Frederick's News Radio 930 WFMD.